Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Rich, could you tell me about Car and Classic, but whilst clearing your throat like Tom Jones?
No problem. Car and Classic is Europe's biggest classic sales site with over 35,000 cars and bikes for sale at any time. And now they do online auctions where you get professional photos, a detailed write-up, a secure payment service, and the chance to get your classic in front of 4 million monthly visitors. And all of Car and Classic's seller fees are only payable when your car actually sells.
Thank you. Smith & Sniff is sponsored by Car and Classic.
A new Elvis, you know.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Well, now, I wanted to start this podcast by actually regaling a little story about an artifact. A chap on Instagram called 1988 Keith. Catchy name. But his name's Keith Sheehan. Keith got in touch with me a while back, and I might have mentioned this to you. He said he takes some cool pictures of, like, Porsches, usually in Hong Kong. And he sent me a picture of a small Bruce Lee statue, and with a close up of its face, and he put, "Is this Bruce Lee or is this Mike Brewer?" And I have to say, it could go either way. That's what I'm saying. It could really go either way. It could go either way. And
well,
I got chatting to Keith about this because it made me laugh so much. But he said, "Hey, yeah, we were visiting some of my wife's relatives for Chinese New Year, and there it was on the shelf. My wife tells me it might be possible to get it." And then I've sent him a couple of, he sent me a picture of it on the shelf amongst a load of other, in his words, tat. And he's put, "Yeah, I've just got my girlfriend's mother to ask if we can have the statue," because I said, "Well, I'm going to send it to Mike Brewer, and hopefully he won't be offended." And he's put, "Yeah, good news. My uncle said that he bought it 20 years ago in some random Hong Kong department store. He doesn't want it anymore. He'll be happy to give it to you." And so I had it posted from Hong Kong, where I then forwarded it to Mike Brewer in the hope... It's just so stupid. And I wrote on the plinth, because it comes on a plinth. It's like a resin, semi-uncollectible collectible. You know those ones? It's probably...
Well, this is what I wanted to say. The uncle that bought it, because I thought you were going to say the uncle bought it from a, you know, car boot sale or something. But he bought it from a department store, which suggests... I mean, it could still be an impulse purchase, I suppose, but it's... suggests that it came with a price tag that was more than, you know,
a quid,
50p.
Well, yeah.
And
yes.
So, but also the idea that he spent actual cash money on it from a reputable establishment. He took it home, but then after 20 years, he's gone, don't like Bruce Lee so much now. Can go. I used to love him. That's why I bought the little statuette. There's an interesting change, an interesting shift in the uncle's mentality there.
The great thing is,
I'd love to explore.
There's a picture on the shelf, and to the left of it, there's a pair of porcelain cartoon pigs. And to the right of it, there's a picture of it. It's an ancient Chinese lady playing a lute. And it's Bruce Lee in the middle giving it, like, "Come on, Hen, come on, come and have a fucking go." And it just tickles. It just tickles. So, well, yeah, got it to me. And I wrote on the plinth in, like, silver pen, because I was thinking, what do we call this thing? What do we call it? And then it, because he's got his And for the purposes of this, the Patreons, I will put some close-up photos of it, because I did take some close-ups, which I sent to you, Richard, and I know you found it quite amusing. He's got his hand kind of back, as if he's going to do an incredibly aggressive hold out your hand, like a sort of, I don't know, a 100 handshake or a one-inch hold out your hand punch, I don't know. But something... You know, like a really aggressive, like, car buying deal.
That's one for Brewer to aspire to, the one-inch deal.
Yeah.
They're so close to that. Oh, that your hand. Oh, God, shit, you were already there. Wow, that's good.
So close. So close.
This is because then this has been going on for a while, and you sent me the pictures originally.
Yes.
And then I got very confused because then you brought it up again. You went, you know, the Bruce Lee statue / Mike Brewer. Well... It's the deal is on. He's sending it to me. And then I got confused, and I couldn't remember whether real-life Mike Brewer does martial arts or whether I'd imagined that because you'd shown me the Bruce Lee statue. And then there was that afternoon when I was trying to avoid doing proper work, and I...
Oh, yes!
And I just couldn't stop photoshopping karate outfits onto Mike Brewer.
Do you know what? This is great, because Mike, he's such a good sport. When I said to him, I've got something to post to you, and I'm hoping you won't be offended, can I post it to you? And I sent it to him, and he has actually he has responded with a video. We could always put the soundbite of it on this podcast, but we'll put the video up maybe on our Instagram. And he thought it was hilarious, and it was a very good sport. But I think I've called it Mike Bruce Lee. So it's big. B-R-E-W-C-E Lee. And honestly, I said to Mike, listen, if you have a midlife crisis and you decide to, I don't know, get fully roided up or ripped, go on some keto diet or some, I don't know, lots of protein and keeping it lean thing. Because, of course, the statue's topless, right? Because Bruce Lee was a very topless guy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's what Mike Brewer needs to do. He needs to just go, right, this is it. I've hit middle age. I'm going to do something radical. I'm going to get ripped with a PT and maybe a little few little cheeky roids. And then I'm going to wear loose pantaloon type trousers and sort of and go around doing aggressive car buying deals where people don't even want to sell their cars, but they're terrified of what the consequences may be if they don't sell it.
Kick the shit out of them.
And so Mike's really cool. So Bruce Lee now lives in Mike Brewer's studio, his sort of garage studio where I did the walk round.
That's a happy ending.
Yeah, it's a very happy ending. So hold out your hand, etc. Bruce, honestly, I kid you not, listeners.
Please, Mike, don't make me hold out my hand. You'll just break my fingers. I don't want to hold out my hand, Mike. Please, no. Please, etc.
Honestly, the face actually looks like Mike Brewer. I'm not making this up.
It does. This is the thing. It really does. And... I like your plan, though, that Mike, inspired by this, Mike gets absolutely ripped and becomes a black belt in karate. But then every episode of Wheeler Dealers now has to have a sequence where Mike just chops like four bits of wood stacked on top of each other in half in one chop for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, he'll
just
do.
None of us going, the sills have gone on this. Yeah, don't worry about that. And
he just chops them off. It doesn't even need any air tools. He just uses his hands.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to weld this. Don't bother. I'm just going to punch these two box sections together. But they might come apart, Mike, because they wouldn't dare.
No, but what I love is while Elvis is doing the work on Wheeler Dealers, you know, carefully stitching on a new rear arch, just from left to right in the background, you have Mike Bruce Lee doing like loads of backflips.
just roundhousing.
Yes, he does a roundhouse. He roundhouses like a set of wheels and tyres across the garage to Elvis, who says, can you pass me those wheels? I'm going to put them back on. Yeah, just back kicks them across.
as he said it, he realises what he said. Could you just pass me... No, Mike, actually, don't worry about it. Oh, God, Mike. Oh, Mike, we're going to have to take all the glass out of this car before... No, Mike, no, not like that, no!
No, not with just your moccasined foot. No, actually, take them out and save them. No. Seriously, I've got to say thank
Mike
you to Keith.
Bruce Lee.
Look up Keith on Instagram. I said I'd give him a shout out because that's the least I could do. 1988 Keith. Keith, thank you for this just wonderful gift. And Brewer really enjoys it. He's put it in his studio. It's gone all the way from Hong Kong to Mike's car cave. So, yeah. Oh my gosh, I've laughed a little bit too much. I'm feeling a little hoarse now. And
I apologise as well if I'm a bit sniffly and coughy because I've got a cold, so I'm feeling very sad and sorry for myself.
Yeah, we're both. We've both been. My kids have been ill, and they've Bluetoothed it to me. So,
nice.
I've got a bit of a sort of I've got a bit of a throat on, or whatever you would call it, on that side of things. I feel like I've done a bit of a sort of Jacob's cream crackers and dry roast peanuts, but with just a pipette of water at my fingertips and nothing more.
Just big. Lovely handful of silica gel and then lap a couple of drips of rainwater off the edge of a gutter and off you go.
That's exactly it. It's the end of the bag of dry roast peanuts and I've got to go straight into a triathlon and I'd forgotten my drinks bottle. Yeah.
Have you? Are you allowed to talk about what you were doing the other day when you felt like dog shit but had to do some track work?
Okay, what I'll say is, yes, it's not going to be out by the time you listen to this here podcast. But yeah, I've woke up, I'd stayed in a hotel the night before, and I had to wake up and go on a shoot and drive the 911 Dakar, the new off-roady-ish Porsche special edition, which seems pointless and daft, and it is expensive, yes. But anyway, it's a really, really cool thing. But I woke up feeling terrible to the point where I had, you know, when you have to go on, you have to go so slowly. I had to have a shower very slowly, get dressed very slowly. And I was in pure survival, you know, like limp home mode where I was like, I'm not hungry at all, but I know I've got to get something on board and I've got to do painkillers straight away just to get.
Yeah.
I turned up at Liddon Hill. Off of Kent and all that.
Oh, Liddon Hill.
Yeah, I had to drive down to Kent. And as you know, Richard, I don't live anywhere near Kent. So.
Yeah, but the thing about Kent is that no one lives near Kent.
What, not even Kent
people? You are, not even Kent people. Kent people go, it's only the other side of Kent. And then 9 hours later, you know,
it is,
Kent's an odd place. It is. It's so hard to get to.
It is hard to get to. And the weather was not making it, so I was feeling extra rough to the point where I thought, it's a 50-50 whether I'm going to have to abort this shoot. I felt really, really weak and hot and cold and kind of bruised. And that's not a great place to be in when you've got to drive something spiritedly on what is a rallycross track in horizontal rain. So it was cold, windy, rainy, dismal. And I've got to look on camera like I'm... not just having the time of my life, but being really excited. So it's not easy. Act, Gary, act. But I have to say, fed big high five to ibuprofen, got me through. And it really did.
Sweet, sweet painkiller.
I want to dedicate this podcast to E5 Fuels and ibuprofen from the petrol station. Thank you very much.
And do you think, now, here's a thing for you, funnily, because I went to get some ibuprofen last night because I had a headache, and I was saying, it's a stupid revelation, but I was standing in the supermarket, and I suddenly went, so I saw the Nurofen, I went, oh, I'll grab a bit of that, oh, Nurofen Express, that's even better, fast stuff, and I looked at it, and I went, hang on, this has all got the same shit in it.
Yes, it has.
The Nurofen Express is like, you know, £4 for a pack.
Yeah.
There's a supermarket own brand ibuprofen that's still got 200 milligrams of ibuprofen in it. That's 90p.
Yes, that's the thing. It's pocket change for like 16 caplets or whatever.
Well, paracetamol's even cheaper, isn't it? It's an amazing part of humankind's evolution is that we've now got to the point where you can make a profound difference to physical pain for like 20p for a packet of them.
Yeah, for less than a Dairy Milk bar.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Paracetamol, they're really cheap, certainly in this country. I don't know how they are in other countries and around the world, but Yeah.
Well, our listeners will tell us, Richard, because that's the nature of the Smith and Sniff podcast.
Yeah, they probably will. But yes, it was a stupid thing that I was just standing last night in a big Sainsbury's having this moment of realisation going, hang on a minute. Neurofen's just marketing.
Yeah.
It's all the same shit in there.
Yeah.
Unless you know differently, if anyone knows differently.
I think it is just marketing. I think 70 pence worth of no-name Neurofen is absolutely fine. So I had a handful of that. No, I mean the correct dosage, not like a whole handful of just tablets. I'm not mad, you know. But no, it made a big difference and I managed to get through the shoot. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
Did you enjoy the car despite feeling rancid?
I really enjoyed it. I'll give more detail on it next time. But I have to say, yes, it was. It's one of those things that shouldn't really make any sense. And there's not really a huge point to it, I suppose. But at the same time, it almost doesn't matter because it's so accomplished and great fun. Although, like with all these cars, you can get fully pants down and speculum in about options to the point where you just go, how much for that? That's just stupid. Why would I even tick that? And then you find out from Porsche that most of the people that have ordered it have done that. And you go, oh, crumbs.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I will have velour seatbelts. Fine. Yeah. Chuck them in. Why not?
Exactly. Exactly. Look, guys, listen. But it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, I saw it because when they announced it, I was there at the show, and I just went, there's no reason for this. It's absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
And I want one very much indeed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Well, we're all getting the sort of aerial nomad fever again, yes. I think, which actually, in a way, it's a more desirable car than the Atom.
Cars with a bit of squidge in them, a bit of give,
yes,
are somehow very appealing, aren't they?
Well, I think it could be the future. It could be the future, mate. Could be the
future. Well, that's the thing, because you look at it and you go, bet that rides really nicely. Bet that's got a lovely ride on it, and you can drive it anywhere you want, and it'll sort of, you know, 911s generally are pretty usable everyday cars, but
yeah.
A 911 that you didn't have to ease over speed bumps.
Pothole resistant.
Thing.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe we should just take all this whole idea a bit further, the sort of more give, more movement, less power. Thinner wheels, thinner tyres. Just go, maybe you could just get, I don't know, a Cayman Poor Person Edition, which has two-thirds of the horsepower of the entry model, space-saver width tyres and wheels, and I don't know, it's got like hard plastics inside that you can just drop kick into the bin as soon as you buy it if you want to, and put a bit of Alan Cantara in there. Race Tex. Well, that's Porsche's own brand, Alan Cantara, from memory.
Well, Alan Cantara is a trade name, isn't it? In fact, I think Alan Cantara is a company, isn't it?
Alan Cantara.
SPA of Italy. So if you don't use their product, you have to call it. So it's
So it's Race Tex, you know, then.
Supermarket own brand, Alan Cantara.
Well, it's petrol station ibuprofen. Cantara.
It's the same stuff.
It's just the same. Stop calling it something else. It's a bit like MB Tex, if you remember 80s and 90s Mercedes non-leather interiors. They were very, very keen to promote the sort of the suppleness and the quality feel of their... Now we would call it vegan leather, of course, which makes my skin crawl somewhat, but... Because vegan leather, it's just vinyl, right? It's vinyl.
Yeah. But also, is that... Now, vinyl, if you're going to do something that's not leather, which I think more companies should...
Yes.
Don't try and mimic leather, because there's a lot that's not good about it. It's slippery.
Yes.
And it can look toss when it's aged a bit, because it goes shiny.
Yes.
And although it's wipe clean, I guess... which is a bonus if you have small children and stuff. Otherwise, it's not great. We have sort of been somehow conned into thinking leather is posh in cars, but
yeah,
I'd rather have some really good cloth. Is an underrated thing.
The touch of cloth is a special thing.
I love the cloth in my Panda. Yeah, I do. I mean, I touch the cloth in my Panda all the time just because...
I've got some lovely weave in the Honda Insight. Actually, which I drove down to Kent, which is, I don't know, approximately 900 miles from my house.
Yeah.
And I was very much enjoying the blimmin' comfort of that car. And also, even the fact that it was very windy, very rainy, and I was driving it relatively hard because I just wanted to get there, but abiding the speed limits naturally. And 72 to the gallon I did there and back. So, I've got a photo on my phone. I'll just quickly look. I did, and this is the thing, let's just nerd out because this car just continues to impress. 72.2 to the gallon, right? I put a full tank of fuel in it before I left, which is a 35-litre tank. And I did 335 miles, and it's exactly used half the tank.
Wow.
And that is not bad for a bloody old 325,000-mile motor. And all that. Hold out your hand. No, I'm not going to, Mike, because you're going to throw me over your shoulder and break my shoulder. So no, I'm not selling it. I'm not selling it.
I thought we were going to shake on this immaculate S2000. You've put me in a chokehold for some reason, you fucking bastard. What I was going to say about the...
I want him to be dubbed from all episodes from now on in, Wheeler Dealer. So he dubs himself, but it's slightly out of sync. Himself.
So the lip sync's off a little bit.
It's slightly off. It's slightly off. Elvis, what are you doing?
What I was going to say about I saw that car when it was announced in the US, and all of the Americans there call it the Dakar rather than Dakar. But what was intriguing to me, have we talked about this on the podcast before? The thing that the Dakar threw into sharp relief for me was that it was in a room with other 911s. There was a GT3 RS. There was a full Florida spec 911 turbo cabrio.
Oh, gosh.
I think gold with gold match wheels and loads of that personalization that makes a bit of sick come up. And this is the elasticity of the 911.
Yeah.
There's very few cars that could do this sort of range of skills and still seem credible. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's a sort of funny faux off-roady one, but it feels like they've put a lot of work into making sure that it doesn't get embarrassed just driving over slightly bumpy terrain.
Absolutely.
And then you've got this kind of full sort of Ocean Drive cruiser, but that could also headbutt around the Nürburgring really fast. And then this even nuttier full track version. And they all seem like they make sense. And they don't feel contrived too much. I mean, the Dakar is probably the most contrived. But even that, you sort of go, well, they can leverage a bit of heritage here because there were 911 rally cars.
That's the thing. They're not just making it up. They really did do some great stuff off of the sand and all that racing. You know, so. But you know what was cool was they were supposed to call it the 911 Safari. Mm. Did you know this?
Yes.
And then they went, oh, shit, we can't. Because Tata has a model called the Tata Safari.
Oh, is that why?
So it's an Indian crossover sort of SUV slush puppy. And so they went, oh, bollocks, we can't do that because Tata will sue us and bury us. So so they paid and bought the Dakar name instead. But any other manufacturer that didn't have that pedigree, it would seem like a weak and embarrassing choice. But actually, we're journalists, so we are sort of 911 strokers, but it is true. It's a wonderful tool. So tune in when it comes on the channel, on the Late Break Show channel. Yeah. But please bear in mind that I was an ill man. I did my best during ill circumstances. I'm just going to put that out there.
This is the greatest Late Break Show behind the scenes reveal since you admitted that you were shit-faced doing that Kia EV6 posing piece to camera.
And that's why the listeners tune in. It's quality car content. Oh.
Speaking of shit-faced closing pieces to camera, thank you to everyone who appreciated the tune that I put up on the socials or on the Smith & Sniff SoundCloud last week, based on William Woolard's nonsensical closing piece to camera from Top Gear in 1983 that we've talked about on the podcast before, the one where he goes, that's another show done over, as it were, and includes the phrase, basically in Nottingham.
I still don't understand any of it. I mean, every time I hear it, I chuckle and just go, what was anybody thinking? Or weren't they?
I chopped it up and just put it to a bit of music that sounds basically a small town boy, same chords, because that's from 1983 or thereabouts. But I did it ages ago. Then I was a little bit drunk on a train last week on my way home from London, and bored.
Were you doing you doing lukewarm railway lager?
I'd been to London for some meetings, but then I'd met some friends for dinner in the evening, so I'd had a couple of pints with a curry and a couple of pints in the pub before that. And so I wasn't like absolutely rolling down the aisle of the train. Unlike there's a woman sitting down the carriage from me who sat down, and she'd got that sort of where her eyes had gone a bit like, you know, chameleons moving their eyes independently.
Yeah.
I looked at her, I was a bit like, it looks like her eyes are sort of rolling about separately in her head like loose marbles. And then she seemed to sort of settle herself, but then she got up very urgently as the train set off from London Paddington.
Oh, is it set off?
Charged down the carriage. No, she just charged off down the carriage to lose. And I was like, ooh. And then she came back much more slowly, sat down, got some mints out of her bag and had a couple of mints. And I thought, think somebody might have had a little carroty yawn in the and so I wasn't like that. I just had a very nice evening with some friends, and I was feeling very full, a bit sleepy, but I was like, I don't want to fall asleep on the train because that would lead to me waking up in Bristol.
Oh, a train yawn, and, what a horrible thing.
Train your well, it's even because I was leaving. I was saying goodbye to my friends, and I said, actually, no, before we go, I'm just going to go to the loo because I don't want to get on the train and need a wee, because I don't like having a wee on a moving train. It's a peril piss, and I don't like it.
Oh,
there's always that feeling you might just hose your own.
Well, it's aeroplane turbulence, Waz. You've got to brace. Yes. You've got to brace. You really have to brace. I've done it a number of times now, but it's that sudden jerk. It's like someone digging you in the ribs when you're sort of mid-flow. Absolutely terrifying. And what you don't want to do is redecorate the tiny little kiosk that is on an aeroplane.
Kiosk?
It's like a poo-poo kiosk, isn't it? Talking of which, and I was debating this because I said to Rich before we started recording, I said, I worry that this podcast is becoming a bit pissy and a bit shitty at times, where we just seem to deviate into plop and we chat now and again. And it is a sign of our immaturity. So I can only apologise for that. But someone referenced last week, it was on the radio, a DJ was talking about shaking a leg to talk about instigating some dance moves and things. And I default to it. When someone says shaking a leg, I just think of someone that hasn't finished a wee properly and they've put their dingling back in their trousers too early. So therefore, you get a bit of, you know what I mean? You get a bit of... You have to shake the leg and... Yeah, anyway. So, that's that. Anyway, back to Mike Brewer statues. And
great. Oh, God. Also, because I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself today, I look like an absolute state. I'm wearing...
Flute?
Feeling sorry for myself, illness clothes. I've got that fleece on that I sent a picture to you the other week when I was dressed like an Australian because I'd got shorts on with a fleece and you were outraged about the fleece.
It was bad.
It's a very cheap fleece. There's not a natural fibre in it, but it is quite warm. And I'm wearing that because it's warm.
Yeah.
But then I'm wearing basically cuff ankle trousers. And no socks with trainers.
No way, really?
Yeah.
So hang on, you're basically a welded diff E36 driver.
Yeah, I look like a concert standard flautist. It's just, I mean, I'm not proud of it, but there's nobody to see apart from the builders who are still in my house. But
who are all laughing at you right now.
Yeah. Which, oh.
Yes.
And also, I haven't told you about my haircut. I had a haircut last week.
Okay.
Got my haircut, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. I went to this barber I've been to before, but it was a different guy cutting my hair. And we got chatting. He said, oh, you know, what are you doing today? Are you working? I said, well, I kind of set my own hours. I'm self-employed. Oh, yeah, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a writer. And he went, oh, I'd love to be a writer. I've started writing a book, actually, because, you know, about my life. And I was like, okay, yeah. And he went, yeah, I've had quite an interesting life, you know, done a few things, seen a few things, you know, not everything I'm proud of, but, you know, I think I've got quite an interesting story. And I was like, yeah, what sort of stuff? And he went, well, you know, I did 12 years in prison.
12?
Yeah. And straight away I was like, oh, right, okay. What for? And he went, you know, drug smuggling.
What? This is cash over a haircut?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got a cutthroat razor in his hand as well, because suddenly, while he's telling me some of these stories about how he kicked the snot out of somebody in prison and things, he's at one point he's got a cutthroat in his hand because he's doing the, you know, just shaving my neck and things and trimming my beard.
Gosh.
And Yeah, he was telling me about. He said, I got a Microlite, flew from Holland to the UK
on a,
with a load of coke on the back.
You
can't go too high because the fuel freezes, and also because you don't want to get detected. So you've got to keep low. But, you know, the sea's choppy. The water's actually splashing off the bottom of the Microlite. And,
what?
Yeah, so it's pretty hairy. And I was like, oh, my God. But you made it. And he went, oh, yeah, I used to do that all the time.
What do you mean all the time?
He was repeatedly smuggling drugs into the UK by flying a Microlite very low over from the Netherlands.
When you say, was the Microlite one of those ones where your feet are in a sleeping bag? Is that a hang glider? Oh, is that a hang glider? Yeah. I'm getting it mixed. So this is one where you've got like a nose cone of a sort of bad 70s Formula One car. And a
garden chair. and then the engine out of a rotavator. And then in his case, a big block of cocaine.
A big bag of coke in a Tesco, like...
Yes,
Tesco bag for life.
Bag for life.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody hell.
So
that
turns
ridiculous.
Out this bloke, he did have a very interesting life. He showed me the bullet wound in his leg as another thing.
Wow.
He said, oh, yeah, I've had 3 attempts on my life. Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, oh, my God, you should definitely write this book. Because he said, I started writing this book and I just kind of gave up on it. And I was like, no, do it, man. This just sounds great. But I'd asked him for, you know, a bit off. I didn't want to get scalped. I wanted, a bit off the top of my hair and then just tidy it up. And he started doing that with the scissors, and then I think he got so into his stories, and he had told me that he cut hair in prison.
Oh, gosh.
I think he just decided to give me a prisoner's haircut. After spending ages with the scissors on top, then he just got the clippers and ran them over my whole head. So it's like...
What, you've had a buzz cut?
Basically got a... Well, it's not a buzz cut, because he had quite a long guard on it, but even so, my hair is bloody short.
So you look like a coke-smuggling hang glider warrior.
Yeah.
Wow.
But except, he had a very, very thick head of hair, actually. Not long hair, but, you know, good sort of solid, thick, quiffy sort of haircut. So he wasn't scalped, but suddenly I was. I think he just got so into his stories he forgot he wasn't in the nick and just started buzzing my hair. So anyway, it's a very interesting haircut. I was a little bit worried about saying that's not what I asked for because, you know, clearly, as he told me, he'd had to kick the shit out of a few people in his life for various reasons.
Blimey. Well,
yeah.
I don't think I could compete with that. I was going to start talking about the fact that, and this podcast is not sponsored by Michelin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's actually sponsored by Car and Classic.
It is.
But Car and Classic's logo doesn't involve a really scary, weird, white, tired thing. Because there was a...
Bibendum,
but not... I mean, Bibendum now is a friendly, you know, child-friendly kind of... If it turned up at a children's party, everyone would want a picture with him or her or it. And all good, yeah? Sort of like, a French tire-fitting... Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. So that's all good. But Bibendum years ago, oh my word. Have you seen how scary it was years ago in the early days of Michelin promotions?
No.
Oh, scary bastard. Absolutely scary bastard.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, because I always think Bibendum sounds like a medical term.
Oh yeah, you've got like, Bibendums, yeah.
Yeah, we're just going, oh, God, he sat on a bicycle that didn't have a saddle on it, and he's injured his bibendum. It's really bad. But,
oh, gosh.
I don't actually know why he's called that. And I haven't seen that. Should I look up?
I'll forward you a link. But there was a lovely piece written by Anthony Ingram for Haggerty. And the title is Michelin Man, How a Nail-Drinking Oddity Became the Most Recognisable Mascot on the Road. And...
Oh, shit.
Basically pointed out he pointed out that in the 19th century Bibendum was just a scary, weird,
oh my
sharps-eating bastard.
There's a one here where he's... he sort of looks a bit like kind of cross between Mikhail Gorbachev and Michael Winner. And he's leaning back, smoking a cigar, allowing a Brill Cream gentleman in a pinstripe suit to remove...
his clothes?
Well, no, because he's obviously made of
tires. Oh, because he's taking one out of his tummy, as it were.
He's taking one out of his midriff, yeah, but it's... I mean, that's...
I mean, ugh. Look, great tyre company, well-renowned, but, I mean, seriously...
But the logo is... Oh, my God, these tyres are horrific.
I know, this is the thing. So Bibendum's now all cool and...
There's a picture of someone in a Bibendum costume, but it's really horrific. It looks like a sort of inflatable gimp suit.
Well, I think Bibendum's a bit...
Oh, my God.
I think Bibendum...
These are horrible.
Well, I know, this is the thing. This is the thing. It's like a bad sort of French fetishy weirdo.
There's two of them here, and they just look like absolutely dog shit Doctor Who baddies. They're... ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realise this.
So 1898 was the Mark I Bibendum.
Sorry, this is terrible audio. I'm just laughing at pictures that other people can't see, but bloody hell, we'll put some of these up on the...
I'm
going to
say...
this is awful.
It took until at least 19...
There's two of them wrestling.
Yeah, it took... until 1930 for Bibendum to not look like an evil wrong'un. That's what I'm saying. That's my take-home from this.
I want to throw a story for Sniff Petrol about as if written by an American exchange student who'd been forced to share a flat with Bibendum in Paris and discovered that he was a disgusting flatmate who just ate squash balls and got his head jammed between things all the time.
Oh, imagine Bibendum on a night out. If he got invited to a mate's stag do and you're like, oh, yeah, we've brought on a mate of a mate. He's like an old cousin that I forgot about. Be nice
Isn't
to him.
Isn't he the promotional character for Michelin Tyres?
No.
Oh, yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he might still be doing that. Well, you can ask him, actually. But he only speaks French. And then halfway through the night, he gets punctured. And you have to go and find a cycling shop that's open late to get a repair kit.
Well, it's a bit like the Stig. They sort of quietly changed the Bibendum, so some of them lost their job over time. So if you're for an ex-out-of-work Bibendum, it's because you've, I don't know, aged badly or you... had some troubles with your personal life. So there's some bad Bibendums out there, I think, you know, who want to talk to you in a bar. They're a bit of a liability. You've got to be very careful.
I was going to ask you, have you driven, I forget now, the Genesis GV60?
No, I still haven't. But it has a face like Bibendum.
It does, actually,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hasn't it got a funny little smile?
Face.
It's got a funny smile grill. It looks like a cartoon. Hey, guys, hey.
Sort of.
If I was doing it's grill face, my voice would be like this. Hey. Hi, guys. Hey. How are you?
Yeah, I know. It's got a... hey. Hi. Hi.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, guys.
Yeah, no, it's funny looking. it's smooth nosed. That's the thing. It's got a... It looks like it... It's a bit snake-faced in a way, I suppose. You just want to sort of draw two eerie little nostrils on it, but...
well, that's what
it's. I know it's just weird because it's obviously that's the EV6 and the Isotonic 5 underneath.
Yes.
It uses that high-end IKEA eGIMP platform, and I found it a very confusing car. I've got one at the moment. I just borrowed one, which I couldn't because I was like, I don't because it looks sort of like a smallish hatchback.
Yes,
and actually, I think it's supposed to be more of a kind of medium-sized SUV, almost like a, I don't know, like an I-Pace.
Do you think
it's sort of a kind of sporty SUV, sort of crossovery? I don't know. That's the thing. I just couldn't get my head around what it's supposed to be, and then I found out that it's, you know, sort of 50 grand. The one I've got is the top one.
Yeah.
And it's got some matte paint and stuff on it. And it's like a 60-odd grand car, and you go, the interior is really good quality in that way that, like I found with that other Genesis that I was driving the other week, I just can't get my head around it sort of conceptually. Who's it for?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to drive it some more. I've seen some people have got a bit of a down on the way it drives, and I think it's perfectly fine, and the ride's a little bit firm, but it's you know, it's good, it's quick, although it's sort of not, it's not idiotically slap you around quick all the time. You know, you can drive it normally.
Invisible touch cabin or
Invisible Touch.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just a pointless insertion of a Genesis song.
Oh, okay. No,
just thought I'd put it in there.
More Land of Confusion.
Oh,
because there's a lot of things that you just go, what are they? It's got the world's biggest electric mirror adjuster.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the size of a Tunnock's tea cake. You twist the outside.
Scottish listeners then, can relate.
Yeah. Finally, oh, at last. So it's got, yeah, that is inexplicable detail. The panel that does all the aircon and you can toggle into the radio or the media player or whatever is, for me, just too far away. You actually have to lean forward to reach it. So there's some sort of slightly odd design touches, but everything feels like they've spent money getting it right. It doesn't feel cheap and nasty. It just feels a bit mad in places.
Its biggest problem is
can't get my head around it.
Well, the biggest problem is the cars that it's also based on are really good and don't feel cheap or unstylish, dull, and offering solid warranty, solid range opportunities and all that stuff. So you just go, I mean, I still, call me a boring bastard, but I still really, really want an Ioniq 5 because it's still way out there and just such a bloody masterpiece of design, I think. I blooming love it.
I suppose the Genesis is supposed to be sort of posher than those, isn't it? So it's like the Hyundai is, I don't know, a VW.
Yeah.
And the Kia is Cupra, I suppose, if you're keeping it VW Group, and then this Genesis GV60 is supposed to be an Audi, but it's, which I'll buy that. It does feel a bit more. I mean, it doesn't actually feel more expensive, sorry, because the quality on the EV6 and the Hyundai is just really good.
Exactly.
It just feels like it's got more twinkly bits. You've just on it. That's what
it's got more cut glass chisel, like the BMW i7. There's a lot of cut glass Swarovski shiz going on.
No, I don't know. I just don't get it, like, as in who's going to buy it?
Yeah,
because I think probably it's one of those cars that sort of you can't get your head around the scale of it.
Yeah,
like, you know, the current Mini, but when the original BMW Mini came out in 2001, it was very hard to get a sense of how big it was from the photos because it's kind of cartoonish.
Yeah,
and I think this Genesis is kind of the opposite. It looks very compact in pictures because all the design details are sort of at that scale, and then in real life you go, oh, it's a bit bigger than I thought, but it still just looks like a fancy hatchback. And I mean, I quite like the way it looks. I just don't think it's sort of, I don't know what they're aiming at.
Generation
that's
Isis.
The Hyundai at the moment is just kind of like freewheeling, aren't they? They're absolute freestyling maverick stuff.
You look at
the
Ioniq
5 and the Ioniq 6 and things, 6, and you just go, they're just doing what feels right.
They're in the recording studio and they're being let, their record label has let them do whatever they want. They go, just be experimental, go with your gut, do it with conviction, you'll be safe. It's fine, guys, it's fine. And they've gone, brilliant, we're going to do a yacht rock album next.
Yeah, and then probably just do a load of, could we all just go off to the Himalayas and we're going to do an album that all the instrumentation is just nose flutes? Okay.
Yeah, and while we're nose fluting, can one of you just pop over to Holland in my Microlite for me? Yeah, thanks. Nose flutery.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know, I'll report back. I've only had it a couple of days, so I haven't driven it loads, but it's just a bit of a confusing car. I just go, who do you think is going to buy this? Because I just don't, it's just, that's a lot of money. Anyway, but I don't know, I'll drive it some more, see if it attracts a crowd.
Can I do a quick poll from you and the listeners? The term ICE, okay?
Yeah.
The term ICE, I think, I don't know whether it's my age or what, but people have called me out on my channel on YouTube comments saying, why do you refer to ICE cars as piston cars? I don't understand. Just call them ICE cars. And I don't call them ICE cars because my background in the car world, ICE was always in car entertainment, you know, like stereo, audio, hi-fi, right?
Yeah.
I know it's not really talked about much anymore, the aftermarket hi-fi world.
Mm.
But to me, that was always what ICE was. There were loads of companies that were called, I don't know, there was a big one called ICE Direct. They were always like selling.
Was there?
Yeah, loads of amps, head units, blah blah blah, subs, you name it. So to me, and I want to know what the listeners are thinking here. Is ICE your default setting for talking about internal combustion cars versus EVs, or are you like me, maybe old school, and it's all about in-car entertainment? It's all about your Pioneer head unit, your Kenwoods, and
shall we,
your Nakamichi.
Let's see what the let's see what the Google Alan Garithm thinks.
Oh, Al, yeah.
Does ICE stand for?
You can call me Al.
Ah, well, you see, you're wrong on both counts, because it actually stands for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Oh, okay.
Of the
and not of the not like very
page of the US.
How far down that trail does very cold water come?
Oh, that's so old school. Is no it? One says that anymore.
And what about the gangster term for diamonds as well? Just want to put it
out
there.
Oh, yes. Also, actually, isn't there a gangster term for killing somebody if you ice them?
Oh, really? What, so you freeze them as in they're not moving anymore, they're not doing anything?
The top definitions on this, abbreviations.com,
yeah,
the top one is Icelandic.
What?
As in, it's the abbreviation for the Icelandic language, not just like someone from Iceland is an ice, but that's apparently how they abbreviate it. The next one on the list is in-car entertainment.
Good. Strong contender. Second.
And below that, internal combustion engine.
Okay, so silver and bronze. Okay.
Followed by in case of emergency, which is... there's also independent cost estimate, intercity express.
Intercity express.
This has descended into drivel. Inner city experience.
Oh, wow. I've never...
Information content exchange, interdisciplinary cooperative education...
Oh, come on, you're making it up now.
In-class essay.
No, you're making it all up.
It's just picking words.
This is all just Max Power era, Alpine, Nakamichi...
Yeah.
Like, music-making devices to put inside vehicles. That's all this is.
Well... That's a fair point. Were you getting some shit last week for something? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Social media storm.
Oh, Twitter just cascaded a load of liquid plop over me. And because the where my office is on a farm, and the drive to the farm, the private drive, is a 1 kilometre long straight piece of road, okay? Hmm. Surrounded by fields, because it's a farm. And I sometimes video on my phone a little selfie video of me just cruising down there. There's a maximum speed limit of like 25 miles an hour down there anyway. Of just filming on my way to and from work if I'm doing some thoughts or whatever. And I got absolutely destroyed on social media, despite the fact that I put a little video out and I stated in the first 8 seconds of this vid, by the way, I'm on private property. This is a farm lane that goes to my office. By the way, if there's rustling paper in the background, it's tortoises having sex fights, just so you know.
Again,
it's relentless. Although they're amazing off-roaders, I do like watching the way their departure and approach angle is just phenomenal. But people just all latched on and piled on, mostly cyclists, pro-cyclist groups, saying how they CC'd in loads of local police forces, saying take this guy down. He's promoting filming whilst driving. He should be setting an example. And I was gone, and every single one, it's like, it's on private property. I stated it was on private property. It's on the drive to my farm, not my farm, my office on the farm. So I said, I know the farmer. The farmer's cool. I get permission to do this. They're like, but you still shouldn't do it, because you can still knock something or somebody down. And I said, I understand it, but also...
Guys, of course it was private property. I was incredibly drunk when I filmed it.
Well, and that one person actually came back to me and said, well, are you saying that you drink and drive and do the same thing? And I said, yes, I would, actually. I've done it before. I've driven around a field, really drunk in my car, pretty much on my own. And I'm allowed to do it because I'm a grown adult and I've decided I'm going to do it. I haven't done it on the road because I'd lose my license and it's not a wise thing to do. And I don't film myself on the road because it's my job to be responsible, and I don't want to lose my career and the trust of the people. But yeah, I mean, I got properly pants downed about it. Big boy wee.
It's an underrated branch of internet twattery, isn't it? The sneaky CC.
Yeah.
Where people copy in someone they want to draw attention to something, but in a sort of really snide way. I don't enjoy that.
No, well, I got, yeah, I mean, it sort of went viral in the wrong way. And it doesn't matter how many responses, individual responses I sent out going, please, you've clearly not watched the video, because there was someone going on, yeah, this guy needs to be taken down. This guy's self-righteous. Look, he's driving a posh BMW. He needs to be. Someone said he's a Poundland Andrew Tate. That's what I was referred to.
Oh, no.
I was referred to as a Poundland Andrew Tate.
So, that's a horrible insult.
It is, isn't it? I like Poundland. And but I don't particularly like vacuous social media people with terrible car taste who may or may not traffic women. So it was a tough one. That was a tough one. And I might have uncorked it a few times when I was a bit cross. But yeah, so there we go. So yeah, next week, everybody, I'm going to be driving up and down the 1 kilometre completely straight farm private road, and I'll probably have a belly full of Merlot, and I'll be...
Do one where you're smoking a crack pipe, but it's okay because you've got an airline sleep mask on.
Oh, that's a great idea. In fact, we could come up with... one idea I had was, you know, you do launch control in various new cars.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what about launch control with one full turn of lock-on and see what happens?
Ooh. Will it let you do that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it'll go, no, you need to straighten that bad boy up.
No, we've got to be careful here, because when we idly said, I wonder if cruise control works in reverse,
oh, gosh,
quite a few listeners, as it turns out, have tried this.
Yes.
And we don't want you to, because what would happen if you, in a really powerful car, say like a 911 turbo or GTR.
Oh, gosh. Gosh.
If it unleashed full fury, but with some lock on. I mean, it's not going to roll over because the centre of gravity is too low for that, surely. But it's just going to...
Guys.
I mean, apart from anything else, the torture, because we're talking about four-wheel drive cars, the torture on the front drive shaft.
Oh, it would be quite hard.
Something might pop out, so I bet they don't let it.
What, like Alan Partridge's running shorts, kind of? Yeah, you might pop a CV boot.
Lynn, one of my drive shafts has come loose at the side. I don't know. Johnny's driveway of peril.
Well,
this week, Johnny's driving a new Mercedes EQE down the drive, but he's sitting backwards for no reason at all.
I'm going to drive it half throttle in sport mode, but I'm only steering it with my right hand wrist at the top of the wheel, and I can't grab it with my hand, and I can't use my fingers at all. It's just the wrist. Oh, and by the way, it was a frosty night, and I'm doing it very early in the morning. Hi. So
I'm Johnny Smith, and welcome to Driving with My Feet.
I'll finish this conversation by saying, obviously, I don't condone filming with your phone whilst driving along on the road, public road, of course, or drink driving or anything daft like that. But I got tailgated coming back from Kent in the Insight, and I sent you a voice note, didn't I, afterwards say, this thing approached me at a rate of knots. I was overtaking a lorry, and I was doing just under 70, and this guy came up behind me in a white Range Rover Spalz, which had an aftermarket tuner body kit on it, and one front corner of the bumper had obviously been heavily biffed on something, and it was sort of flopping off and flapping, and it had, you know, black scratches all down. It was a white car. And the grille on the front was just some generic bad tuner, and it had a shield on it, which looked like, I don't know, either a double glazing kind of seal of approval or a no-name superhero kind of moniker. And when it went past, A, the person was on their phone on the loudspeaker type scenario. Mm. But B, obviously it was on full kickdown, had a pair of sort of black smoke jet trails spiralling out of these two kind of oblong exhausts. I mean, the whole thing just made me feel quite unwell, which is why I sent a message to you when I got home to say, here's the situation, guys. You've got two choices.
I just remembered the specific message you sent me.
It's, you've got a choice. Do you drive that car every day or do you get kicked in the dick every day? The choice is yours. And I want to know the answer. I'm going with the latter, because that...
How hard is the kick?
I'm going to say medium. Enough for you to sit down for 3/4 of an hour, I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Medium.
Medium, but with sturdy, shoes, but not walking boots or safety boots.
Okay, not a steel toe.
Because that's savage and that's sort of, you know, like proper kind of potential life-changing injuries. So we're not going there.
Yeah.
But I'm keen to know what people's thoughts are. Bear in mind, this car was a bad-looking thing. A really bad-looking thing.
I know that shield you're talking about.
Do you?
On the grill. I can't remember the company.
It's the sort of thing that toothpaste companies put at the end of their advert, which says something like, I don't know, dentist-friendly. Yes.
Exactly. Endorsed by the Society of Dentists. And you go, well, of course it is, because you gave them 100 grand. It's like, it just,
endorsed by people that we paid. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Endorsed by this thing we just made up. We should probably wrap this up.
Well, I just want to end this podcast because I'm supposed to have said it 3 weeks ago, and it's blatantly I got gifted something, and I thought it's really good and it's useful for what I'm doing now, which is talking with a microphone in front of my face. I've got the most sweet, sweet, sumptuous, lovely, noise-cancelling, high-quality headphones on, and I've been waxing lyrical to you about them because you have had about 3 headphone technical issues in the last 4 podcasts, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So I want to say a thank you to Bowers & Wilkins for sending me, and I know I don't do this very often, guys, so I'm just going to put it out there. I've got these McLaren Edition PX8 noise-cancelling Bluetooth off of wireless headphones, and I've got to say, they are such nice quality items. They're not cheap, I know this. But they're such bloody good quality and they work so well for this podcast. And I feel very proud of them because they're McLaren, they've got brushed orange accents on them. And they've got the softest... I know it sounds really cheesy. They've got the soft... they have got the softest... As soft as a spaniel's ear. Little, the pads that go around your ear, because they're a full ear headphone, you know, a trad, full ear covering ear. They got the softest of pads, and they are just such a wonderful thing. And I've thoroughly enjoyed them. And I went on a flight quite recently, and I had to sit around people I didn't like. So I put the noise-cancelling feature on, and it was just, money couldn't have bought that experience. So it makes a budget airline pleasurable. It's a sweet, sweet... relevant to what we're doing here, podcasting experience. So I just want to say thank you, and that's the end of it. They were gifted to me, and I'm got to be transparent about that. And no, I don't own a McLaren, so I'm one of those guys. I've got McLaren spec headphones without a McLaren, but honestly, they're really good. They're good quality, signed. So thank you.
Signed.
Yeah, and good. Yeah, you're irritated that I've done that, but I wanted to do it.
That's fine. If I get free stuff, I'll happily mention it towards the end of the podcast as well. But before we go, I have 3 things to tell you. They are, 1, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Underestimate Bates Show, in which he challenges a former Radio 1 DJ to a task, firmly believing he'll be unable to complete it, only to find that he can. This week, Simon finishes the refurbishment of a village hall near Keswick with 2 days to spare, even though Johnny spent the whole time telling him he'd bitten off more than he can chew. And if that's not to your taste, there's always the Late Brick Show, which has got lots of excellent videos about cars and people who love them.
The new one that will come out the day that this podcast is released, is a lovely barn find, wide-bodied Mercedes 500 SEC AMG. It's honestly, it's more 80s than fretless bass, wide linen suit with slip-ons with tassels hanging off the back. It's so amazing. It's so fabulous. It's a proper thing. And will it start? Can we start it, listeners? Ooh. Well, you'll have to watch it and find out, won't you?
No spoilers here, no. Apart from on that Mercedes, probably. Anyway, second thing I've got to tell you is, I've chucked various bits of music relating to Smith & Sniff onto a SoundCloud. So if you really want to listen to the like and subscribe thing, it's coming up at the end of this anyway, probably, but that's on there. And the current classic Eurobeat is a slightly longer version of that, and various other bits of nonsense. So soundcloud.com/otsot. If you want to go there. And the third thing I've got to tell you, also on a sort of musical note, is you'd be familiar with the song Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz. It was their first single.
Yes.
But the distinctive riff of that and the beat is just a preset from the Suzuki Omnicord.
Is it?
It's called Rock One. Yeah,
dun,
it's
just that. Dun, and then, dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
Dun,
dun, well, you know, do you know the Omnicord? That sort of slightly odd-looking kind of 80s... synthesizer thing. Yeah, it's just one of the preset little loops from that.
Wow.
That Damon Albarn then just, you know, made his own.
So simple, but so effective.
Yeah.
I love it when you do these finishing things, because I always learn something, Richard. It's like a Jerry Springer final thought, but sometimes car related.
Arcane information.
Yes, and no fights.
Okay, well, thank you ever so much for listening. If you fancy being generous, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/SmithandSniff, and you get the podcast a little bit early and with no ads, and also a thing called show notes where we put up pictures. This week will be pictures of Mike Bruce Lee and various other things, including Sinister Bibendum. And there's the Smith and Sniff Encyclopedia on there as well, which has lots of sort of definitions of things we talk about on this, and some of our kind of running jokes and where they started.
Oh yeah,
that's
true.
Make some sense of this bullshit. It's a quid a month if you're interested. Some people give more. Thank you.
That's a third. Thank you to everyone. That's the third of a price of a city coffee.
It is. Yeah. At least.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just
so
saying.
So yeah, if you fancy doing that, and if you'd like to drop us a note about anything, hello@smithandsniff.com.
Yeah. Please stop forwarding me Nissan Leaf hearses, because I've had...
Oh, yes, Nissan Leaf hearse, so that's
honestly,
all good. Thank you.
Please no more.
And we will do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye now. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.